Good morning. The title of the message this morning is Taking Inventory, but before we get started, I just want to tell you a little story. A man was in a restaurant, and he saw this very attractive woman sitting next to him at the next table. All of a sudden, she sneezes, and a glass eye comes flying out of her eye socket. It hurls by the man, and he snatches it out of the air and hands it back to her, and she goes, "Oh, this is so embarrassing," the woman says, as she pops her eye back in place. I'm sorry to have disturbed you. Let me buy you dinner and make it up to you." So the man agrees, okay? The woman is a stimulating conversationalist. She's a stunningly pretty. And the man finds that they have a lot in common. He gets her phone number. And he says this, he says, "You are the most charming woman I've ever encountered. Are you this nice to every guy you meet?" And she replied, no, "You just happened to catch my eye." Oh, come on. All right, listen, we're gonna start right away with our Bible declaration, so why don't you join me, stand with me, and hold your Bible up to heaven and begin to say this with me. Are you ready? I hope so. Okay. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same.
I believe it.
I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Today I want to look at 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, where Paul gives you and I a directive, if you will, or at the very least, he gives us this very strong suggestion. Okay, so if you want to turn to 2 Corinthians 13:5, would you do that? If you don't have your Bible, shame on you. But if you don't have your Bible, you can look up behind me and see it. I'm going to read out of the Amplified this morning. At least this scripture I'm going to read out of the Amplified. Paul says this. Are you ready? "Examine and test and evaluate your own selves to see whether you are holding to your faith and showing the proper fruits of it. Test and prove yourselves, not Christ. Do you not yourselves realize and know thoroughly by an ever-increasing experience that Jesus Christ is in you?" You know, you get to know who God is by an ever-increasing experience, you know? Some of us know God as Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Some of us know God as Jehovah Rapha, our personal healer. Amen? Some of us have gone through many battles, so we know God as, you know, as his banner. The banner over us is love. He leads us into war. Are you with me? Sorry, I got distracted. Do you not yourselves realize and know thoroughly by an ever-increasing experience that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you are counterfeits, disapproved, on trial, and rejected? In other words, Paul is encouraging you and I to look at our lives, and I think this is really important, and evaluate, if you will, how we are doing in our Christian walk. And he's saying that through our ever-increasing experience with God, okay, that our life should be saying, "Jesus Christ is in me." Amen? Why don't you say that with me? Jesus Christ is in me. And I believe from time to time in our Christian walk that we should really take inventory, if you will, and do exactly what 2 Corinthians 13:5 instructs us to do. But there are times in our lives when taking inventory can be painful. Come on. But it's very needful if we want to stay in faith and stay believing, okay? Instead of letting the world, if you will, desensitize us. And I think it does that so well. If we don't stay in the Word, if we don't stay in church, okay, and I'm sorry, you do need to come to church. If we don't stay in the Word and stay in church, stay in fellowship, the world can just desensitize us in a great way, all right? In a great way. Because how many of you know that too much world can have a negative effect on a believer? And we get a whole lot of the world every day. I get a whole lot of the world every day being in the job that I'm in. And I can remember working in a foundry and working in lumber companies and the places that I've worked, you get a whole lot of the world. So Paul makes a statement in 2 Corinthians 13:5 so that we will look and see how we're really doing. So the next question is, how do I do that? You know, what do I compare myself to and to find out how I'm really doing? Well, one thing is for sure, okay? You don't want to compare yourself to other people. Amen? The Bible warns against that. But people are not our standard. How well you are doing has got nothing to do with how well I am doing. Come on. And where you are at in your Christian walk could be totally different than where I'm at. I could be farther. You could be farther. Okay? So we can't use other people. So what do we use? We use the Word of God. Okay? And we look and see if we're doing what it directs us to do. Does that make sense this morning? Come on. See, there's not a whole lot of people here, so you got to talk loud to me. Amen? Because God knows I preach better when you talk loud. Many times when I'm reading the Bible, the Holy Spirit, just right out of the blue, convicts me. And I don't know if that happens to you or not. I'll be reading along in my daily reading, and all of a sudden the scripture will just jump right out at me, okay? And the Holy Spirit will begin to speak to my heart, and I'll be convicted about that area in my life that needs to change or maybe needs to be adjusted. I told you last week, which I don't know if you remember or not, whenever I write in my Bible when I have a revelation, I write the date down. And that's really a good thing until I come past that spot again the next year and realize that I haven't done anything to make that change in my life. But it's also a good thing because I have another opportunity to make that change or adjustment. Anybody else? You know what I'm talking about? Now, how many of you know that it's very easy, because of the grace and the kindness of God, it's very easy not to take sin as seriously as we should? Come on. Because, and I really believe this, we know that we can be forgiven, all right? And we know that God is still going to love us, right? No matter what we do. We even know that God probably saw it coming, all right? And so we continue many times in a certain sin without really taking seriously what the effects of that sin really has on our life. I'm just being honest here this morning. And I want you to be honest too, okay? Because even as Christians, right? We do things that we shouldn't do. And we premeditate things that we shouldn't premeditate. We plan to do things that we shouldn't plan to do, and we do them, and that shouldn't be. Amen? The Bible calls that presumptuous sin. Sin that we know that we can be forgiven of. Anyway, after saying all of that, I want to bring our attention to 1 John 3:6, all right? And you can turn there if you like, 1 John 3:6. This is a scripture that I've had trouble with just a lot, okay? All right. In 1 John 3:6, the Apostle John says this, "Whoever abides in him does not sin." If I had a mic, I'd drop it, okay? "Whoever abides in him does not sin." What? "Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him." Come on. Let me read that again to just make sure that I got it right. "Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him or known him." In other words, you've never seen God and never known God if you sin. Wow. I mean, how can this be true? If I abide in him, I'm done with sin? The statement that John makes here is actually really and truly a little hard to swallow at face value. Because, I mean, don't get me wrong. Okay, don't get me wrong. It's not that I don't believe it, because I believe everything that's written in the Bible. Don't you? Amen? Amen. Don't you? But are you with me? I mean, I can read it, I can take it in, but in the past, until I searched it out, until I dove into it really and tore it apart, it's a hard scripture. It's a difficult scripture, because I know who I am. I know me. And I know you. And I know people in general. And it just doesn't seem possible. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Wow. So I went to tearing it apart and searching it out. And I just did that. And I lost the message. So we're going to just pause here like, all right, I'm getting close. So I went to tearing it apart, okay? I went to tearing it apart. Anyway, I'm going to just say this apart from that. I'll just throw it in here, okay? You and I have a promise, and it's written in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, and it says this. And basically, when I'm confused or have a question about God's word, I just need to ask, right? I'm going to read this to you out of the Amplified. Keep on asking, and it will be given you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking reverently, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives. And he who keeps on seeking, and to him who keeps on knocking, the door will be open. Not might be, not perchance will be, but it will be open. Or what man is there of you if a son asks him for a loaf of bread, will hand him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will hand him a serpent? If you then, evil as you are, know how to give good and advantageous gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, perfect as he is, give good and advantageous things to those who keep asking? All right, say to those who keep asking. Now let's all say it together. To those who keep asking. All right, remember, you got to talk loud. And it simply means this, that if we dig into the Word of God, when we have a question and we don't understand the Scripture, if we just seek the answer from the Lord, maybe not right away, but eventually, he's going to give us the answer. And it will be what we need, come on, and it will be given to us when we need it and in a way that we can apply it. Amen? Amen? Amen. But the key to this passage is found at the end of verse 11. Amen? And it simply says, to those who keep on asking him. So if I want the answer to a scripture I don't understand, I have to keep on asking until I get it. So that's what I did. So I don't know about you, but if this scripture is true, this passage is true, I'm going to keep on asking until I get answers. All right? Amen. All right. And you're thinking, Wes, you've forgotten to pray. No, the message is just that long. No, not really. But I do have some questions for you to think about as we continue. Have you ever known someone who claimed to be born again, but you never saw any changes in their lifestyle? Or no changes in their behavior and no changes in their attitudes or their actions? Did it make you wonder if that person was really saved or not? If you know someone who claims to be a child of God but whose life continues uninterrupted in a lifestyle of sin, what does this person's unchanged life really indicate to you? Just be thinking about this. And then just let me ask you this, all right? What changes occurred in your life when you received Jesus Christ? What changes? I can think of a lot of them, thank God. And so I'm going to give you a homework assignment, which probably not many of you will do, if any. But why don't you write down some changes that have been made in your life, that you have made, that God has made, since you've been born again? It might just surprise you how much your life has changed. Amen? Amen. Let me read 1 John 3:6 again. Whoever abides in him, flat out, does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. And again, what the scripture is saying to you and I is that if I'm in Christ and Christ is in me, I won't sin. But if I do, it means that I don't know him. Isn't that what it says? Come on. Lay aside all you know about the grace of God and the mercy of God and everything else, and just take this scripture at face value. If I sin, it means I don't know him, according to this verse. Gary Timmer, if you'd come up and pray for the message. I want to introduce to you Gary Timmer, the one-time poser, who has now joined the Jeep side. Okay? Who owns a beautiful white vehicle out in the parking lot? Well, the second nicest Jeep out in the parking lot. Okay.
And then there's those people who have claimed to be born again, and you wondered, what were they really like before?
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, why are you looking at me?
Just having a conversation.
No. Okay.
Let's pray. God, we just pray that your will come into this place, Lord, and we know what your will is because of your word. Father, I pray that we would be changed today, God, because we've been in your presence, and now because we're taking in your word. God, I pray that each one of us today would stand at that door and knock, Lord. I'm sorry. God, that you would not, as you knock, Lord, we would open the door. Father, have your way in each one of us today. God, we thank you for Pastor West, Lord. I thank you that you do reveal your word to him. And he's able to share it with us. Again, Lord, just have your way. And let us open the door in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gary. Thank you. Today I want to tell you the reason why this scripture is possible in our lives. And once again, it's going to be put up here, all right, with the words, well, maybe not. Whoever abides in him does not sin, that's one time. Whoever sins, that's two times, has neither seen him nor known him. You see the word sin, and it's used in the scripture two times, okay? And in both cases, the Greek tense indicates a continuous action. Okay? And just stay with me here because it's really important that we understand the meaning of what is being communicated here. The Greek tense being what it is here means the verse could be really probably more accurately translated. He who abides in him does not go on continually, habitually sinning as a way of life. He who continually goes on routinely sinning as a way of life has not seen him, neither known him. In short, what this verse is really saying is that anyone who continues to live in habitual sin doesn't know Jesus. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
Yeah. And what do I mean by habitual sin? Well, let me tell you. And the only thing I can think of is the idea of being hooked on pornography. Okay. What if you continue and continue and continue and continue to view pornography? And it is a sin, but it's become commonplace in your life. And see, this is a danger of sin when you repeat it over and over and over again. By that nth time that you do it, it doesn't seem so bad. Come on. And that's a fact. You get desensitized, if you will, of the actual effect that it has on you, of the actual effect that it has on you and your relationship with the Lord. Does God run when you sin? No, he doesn't. He doesn't run when you sin. The thing is, you lose your awareness of God being there. Amen? Hello. So that's probably really the best example I can think of. Now, I know of people, and I know, you know, even in my limited understanding, who are so sorry that they do this. And every time they are so sorry when this happens, and they repent, and they repent with their whole heart. And but then it, you know, they get some limited success in not looking at it, and then they fall again. And unfortunately, those falls end up getting, or that time of success ends up getting shorter and shorter and shorter. Then they don't want to meet with me anymore. And I know what's going on because I know me. Not that I'm hooked on pornography. I know you. I know people. And they really don't like accountability. Now please hear me, okay? It's a fact that anyone who claims to be born again and their life never went through any changes demonstrates that their nature has never been changed. They do. Because the truth is, when we're born again, our nature does change. And this is shown outwardly because our actions and our attitudes change. Are you with me? I mean, I'm not the same person that I was. I'm for surely not perfect. But, you know, I'm not who I was. And sometimes I just have to look at that and say, well, at least I'm not who I was, okay? But this is exactly what John wrote in 1 John 3:6. Then John goes on to tell us in verse 9 of the same chapter, whoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. The tense of the word commit, again, in the Greek, is continuing action, which means the verse could be translated like this. Whoever is born of God simply cannot go on continually sinning. And then John tells us why. He explains it, if you will. He writes this. For his, God's, okay, for his seed remains in him. God's seed remains in me. All right, God's seed remains in you. And he can't sin because he's born of God. The word seed is the Greek word sperma. And yes, it's where we get the English word.
Oh, Pastor almost said that word.
You know what word I'm talking about, right? I don't have to say it. I don't have to. And please don't stop listening now, okay? But according to this verse, what's being said is this. God placed his own seed, his own sperma in you, the day you gave your life to Christ. That's amazing, isn't it? The day you gave your life to Christ. That ought to get you excited this morning. I mean, man, he actually put that on the inside of you. Do you believe that? Amen. Amen. And just as a seed, and please listen to me here, just as the seed of a human father carries DNA, in the DNA of the Father, God's seed, which is the Word of God, carries the life and nature of God within it. Are you with me? When that divine seed was planted on the inside of you, that seed imparted the very nature of God himself into your spirit. Peter referred to this miraculous event when he wrote 1 Peter 1:23, that you are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which lives and abides forever. This means that the day that you were born again, I can remember that day. Can you remember that day? I had gotten saved every Friday morning because I was on third shift and I'd go to the bar and Serena would get mad. I would get saved every Friday morning, okay? Because it'd get me out of trouble. But then there was that day when finally, it all made sense. And it just, there was revelation and I could tear up here. But, and do you think Serena believed that I was born again? No, it took a lot of convincing. But the fact is, the day that you were born again, that divine seed came rushing into your spirit, carrying the life and nature of God within it to give you a new nature. How many of you are happy today that you have a new nature? How many of you tried very, very hard to change your nature before you got born again and you weren't able to do it? That's because now you have the divine seed implanted in you and you are able to do it. So just as a human seed produces a human life, God's divine seed immediately began to produce in you the life of God inside of you. This is one of those spiritual laws or those spiritual principles, if you will. In Genesis 1, 21, then 24 and 25, we see this spiritual law that God enacted, that every living thing produces after its own kind, okay? Humans produce humans. Are you with me? Okay, horses produce horses. Plants produce plants and so on. Trees produce trees and radishes produce radishes and onions produce onions. It doesn't change. That principle that we see in the natural is also true in the spiritual realm. The day that God's divine seed was planted inside of you, that seed, and I want you to get this, that seed transported the very nature of God himself, his DNA, come on, into your spirit with the full expectation that God's very life and nature would be reproduced on the inside of you. I love this scripture. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I mean, glory to God. I don't have to worry about the stuff I used to do. The only time I worry about the stuff that I used to do is when the devil brings it up to me and reminds me of who I was, Gary, before I got born again. And yeah, it was bad. If you think it's bad now, you should have seen it before. But if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That means there isn't even an old part of you. Sometimes we talk about the flesh raising its ugly head, and I know what you're talking about, but you are brand new, okay? The thing is, your old man seems to raise up, but you are brand new. Glory to God. That's why, and that's the only explanation. That's why your desires and your attitudes all of a sudden began to change after you were born again. And this is why you felt so badly about the sin that you used to laugh about. You know what I'm talking about. You tell stories and you laugh about them, but now all of a sudden, you know, previously it didn't bother you, but now it does. Now I don't want to tell you the stuff that I used to do, even if it was funny, okay? Because it was bad. And I can't and I won't let myself laugh at the stuff that I used to do. Amen? Amen. Amen. And that's why, okay, that's why you became so driven to possess a new and a holier life. If you would have mentioned to me that I had to be holy before I was saved, that was so far from the realm of possibilities. But now it isn't, okay? After you were born again, you just weren't the same anymore. Because you had received a new nature. I want you to understand that. Say, new nature. New nature. Say, it's mine. And I want you to know today, you aren't the same anymore, okay? You aren't the same anymore because you have a new nature. What nature am I talking about? The nature of God himself. Well, God, Wes, come on, I have the nature of God in me. Yes, you do. Yes, you do, according to these scriptures. And this is the reason why a genuinely born-again person cannot repeatedly and habitually continue in his past sinful patterns. Because for one thing, he's reading the Word of God, and he's suddenly realizing that if I keep doing this, I'm the one that's really going to suffer because I'm not going to see it as sin after a while. And the truth is, you know, and many of us have been taught that God just runs when we sin. Well, he doesn't. He chased Adam when he sinned. Amen? The fact remains that sin does not work righteousness, okay? And that is suddenly something that's on the inside of you that you want to do because you want to be in right standing with God. You know why? Because you want him to be there when you need him. Amen? But the thing of it is, he's always there with his grace and his mercy. This new nature of God, the very nature of God, it'll drive you to be different, to be holy like God, to love like God, to have the character of God, to have the integrity of God, to do what you say you're going to do like God does. Amen? And it doesn't change on Monday or any other day of the week. You are always going to do what you say. Your word is worth something, because you know what? God's word is more than worth something. His born-again spirit in you will grieve and will sorrow if sins are committed, because these actions violate the new nature that's been implanted in your spirit. And let me just go back to this just a second. I've seen people that have been, you know, just terribly, terribly hooked on different forms of pornography. And oh my goodness, they grieve. They just, you know, they might have success for, like I said, a limited amount of time, 6 months, 6 weeks. I don't know, whatever it would be. But then they fall and they are so grieved in their heart. Laying aside the pornography part of it. Do you guys know what I'm talking about this morning? To be grieved on the inside for sin? You see, if a person continues in sin, and by that I mean continually, and probably the same sin, because there is a sin that so easily besets you, and we're told, lay it aside. Get it out of your life, you know, okay? But if a person continues in sin as though nothing happened inside, then probably nothing happened inside. Charles Finney once said this, just hold on to your seats, okay? I didn't say this, Charles Finney said this, all right? Most people who attend church are probably not born again. When he was asked why he believed this, Finney remarked that it was impossible for the true child of God to live in blatant sin as many believers do. Finney made that statement over 100 years ago. And look at the church today, where we find ourselves and how much sin we allow. Where before, it wouldn't even come in the door. Amen? And no one would think of bringing it in the door. But we have been desensitized over however long it's been for you since you've been saved. We have been desensitized by the world around us, because for some reason, we still want to be part of that world. Oh, Pastor Wes, I don't want to be. You still want to be part of that world. But 1 John 3:9 plainly declares that the authentic child of God cannot routinely commit and live in uninterrupted sin. Say, I'm authentic. That didn't go over like I thought it might, you know. Now I'm going to ask you to say, I'm authentic, okay? And just yell that at me, okay? Say it again. I'm authentic. I hope you are. Amen? I hope you are. Why? Because the true child of God is inwardly changed, and it has affected them outwardly. Amen? Affected them outwardly. You act different. You talk different. Your attitude is different. Everything is different. The way you view everything is different. It should be. Because now God's seed resides in you by His Holy Spirit, and that seed is producing the life of God within you, so you think and behave and act like His child. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay. There's one more thing, all right? You gonna let me say one more thing? I'm almost done. Concerning the works of the flesh that Paul wrote about, he said this, they which do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's in Galatians 5:21. The word do, as in they which do such things, is the Greek word proso, which means to practice. And the Greek expresses the idea of a person who performs these things as a matter of routine. These actions are their ritual, their MO, their norm, their pattern in life. In fact, this verse could be translated, those who put these things into practice and who do these things routinely shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And if you don't know what the works of the flesh are, go to Galatians 5. I believe they start in 19 and read them, okay? Those who put these things into practice and who do these things routinely shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So we have to ask ourselves some questions this morning if we're going to examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith, because that's what the Bible tells us to do. You know, does our life reveal that our nature has been changed? When somebody talks to you, can they tell something's different about you? Or have we continued uninterrupted in our old attitudes and our old sinful actions? I guess the only way I can think, the only example I can give you of that is if you were a gossip before, you shouldn't be a gossip now. Okay? If you talked about people badly before, you shouldn't be that person now. Does your life demonstrate clear evidence of salvation, or have you just learned the lingo? Amen? Have you just learned the lingo of Christians and how to behave among believers? Because there is a lingo and there is a way to behave. Amen? Oh, good morning, Pastor Wes. How are you? Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. That's a great answer, you know. You know, I don't think people really want to know how you're doing anyway, but well, I don't. And I'm just being honest this morning, okay? You know, these questions are too serious for you to make a mistake. They really are. And this is kind of a tough thing to say, but if these questions bother you, then you need to take the time to let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart and tell you the truth. Because you know what? He will. He will. He loves you that much. And he will. But if an honest evaluation reveals that you have only become more religious, and that was what I was talking about this morning when we went through worship, you know. And I'm not saying any one person, but it's a real trap to fall into the religion of just worshiping because you know you should worship. And not realizing that when you worship, you come face to face with God. Amen. And not realizing that even though you know you should worship him, there's a benefit from worshiping him, which you don't do when you worship him or expect, but you get it. I mean, what's better than put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness? Glory to God. Glory to God. But if an honest evaluation, you know, reveals that you've only become more religious and that you have never really changed some of the areas of your life that really should have been changed. You know, perhaps, say perhaps. Everybody say perhaps. Perhaps. You need to re-examine yourself. And I'm not talking to you any more than I'm talking to me, okay? I need to re-examine myself. From time to time, I need to re-examine what's going on. Well, not you, Pastor Wes. You read the Bible all the time and you preach. You must be just, you know? No, I have to re-examine. Because I still have the world knocking at my door. I still have the world wanting to transform me from where I am back to what I was. And you know, the trip backwards is a lot easier, come on, than moving forward and having to change. Okay. Let me read this to you one more time. 2 Corinthians 13:5, out of the Amplified. Examine and test and evaluate your own selves to see whether you are holding to your faith and showing the proper fruits of it. Because there's fruit. You know, if you're doing what is right, there's fruit. Amen? Amen. Test, improve yourselves, not Christ. That says a lot. That, I could preach just on that one. Test and prove yourselves, not Christ. Don't try to prove him. He's already proven, okay? It's you we're talking about. Do you not yourselves realize and know thoroughly by an ever-increasing experience that Jesus Christ is in you unless you are counterfeits? I don't want to be a counterfeit. Amen? A counterfeit looks good. So what would that be? I go to church every Sunday. I preach every Sunday. Amen? I act real nice in front of people, tell them how wonderful they are, but talk about them behind their back. Do you not yourselves realize and know thoroughly by an ever-increasing experience that Jesus Christ is in you? That's awesome. Jesus Christ is in you, unless your counterfeits is disapproved on trial and rejected. What I've preached to you today, and I almost hate to tell you this, but the next message has 8 difficult questions that you have to answer. Yeah. To see if you're in the faith. 8 questions. Now, don't not come because I'm going to preach that. I might change my mind. The Holy Spirit might say, you can't preach that, Wes. Why don't you stand with me? How many of you know, okay, that when you make a declaration, when you say something out loud, it's more than likely to happen than it is if you just keep it to yourself? All right. So I have a declaration for you today. So if you will say after me, after I say it, you say it, okay? We're going to do this declaration. Are you ready? It's good. Are the rest of you ready? I declare I have a new nature with new desires. I am not the person I used to be. I declare his divine seed is reproducing God's life in me.
Is reproducing God's life in me.
So that every day,
I
am thinking more like God,
and
I am acting more like God.
I declare,
I don't have to wonder if I'm really born again.
I don't have to wonder if I'm really born again.
Because my life gives proof, that I have received a brand new nature. Now say this like you mean it. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name.
I declare this by faith in Jesus' name.
Come on now, everybody shout it. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. 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 Why don't you, while you're standing there, just close your eyes. And I'm just going to ask this question of you. You know, how many of you realize, and you're not admitting anything to me here, but how many of you realize that maybe you should maybe examine yourself a little more often? Why don't you raise your hand and wave at me or something? That you should really do what Paul has said that we should do. Examine yourself. Amen and amen. Now, I'm not going to call you up here, but you can surely come up here if you want to. But I want to encourage you, this is not something that Paul said would be just a good idea. There would be a good idea if you have the time. But he said, test yourself. Test yourself. Tests aren't always easy. Test yourself and see if you're in the faith. And I encourage you this week to just test yourself. Just see how you're doing. It's too easy to move through life getting desensitized to the things of God and never paying any attention to that happening. So I just encourage you today to test yourself and see if you're in the faith. And only you know what that means. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that each person here would just be obedient to what you have said in your word, that we would test ourselves, that we would see how we're doing, that we would understand what happens to us if we continue in sin. We can make mistakes and we can sin, but to stay in that sinful state and repeat that sin over and over again is something that you're saying shouldn't happen. So help us today, God. for that sin that so easily besets us, that sin that so often comes to us and we so often fall to. Help us this morning, God, to lay that sin aside and to seek your face and to read your word and to just get to the place where we surrender to what your word is saying and to what your Holy Spirit is saying, which will always line up with your word. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen and amen.